Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Continuing with the various adab that are found in the beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, today we do start a adab, or today we start a section that deals with the various etiquettes as far as commerce is concerned, as far as business economics is concerned. And the beauty of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the practices and the principles that he showed to us 1400 years ago, when the commerce and economy was completely different to what we have it today. But this is the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that such principles he showed us, even as far as our business is concerned, that will continue, these principles will continue up to the day of Qiyamah. This is the beauty of the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not restricted just to one time, and when the commerce and industry and economics change, then now we are left without any direction. The beauty of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is it goes through, it surpasses even technological changes. This is the beauty and the miracle of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So today we start a section, Babu tahrim bay al hadir lil badi wa talaqqa al rukbani wal bay ala bay akhihi wal khitbati ala khitbatihi illa ay ya'dhana aw yarudda. The chapter on the prohibition of a urban dweller, in other words, a person staying in the city, selling on behalf of a rural dweller, person that's coming from outside the city, person is a farmer, he's a villager, he's coming from outside the city, he's bringing his goods and he's coming to sell, and now the prohibition of the person in the city meeting the trade caravan in advance, in other words, going and meeting him before that person, that farmer can come to the marketplace and sell his goods, before he can come, going and meeting him outside the town, and striking a deal with him to take all his goods. And now what this person does is he comes and he sells it on his behalf in the city. So why this is disliked, we'll go through that. So meeting trade caravans in advance, requesting to purchase in the midst of another brother's purchase, which is also not liked, sending a marriage proposal when another brother has proposed. So this is another part of it, that somebody else has proposed for one girl, and now we send a proposal also for that girl. This is something that is disliked. Somebody else is showing interest. Now at this point to go and send another proposal is not right. Why? Because one Muslim brother already has shown some interest, and there seems to be some inclination or some thought that that family is giving to this proposal. At that time now to quickly go and give another proposal is not something that's correct. Similarly, if somebody is showing some interest to buy an item, say one person is showing some interest to buy a car from another person, to go and just make another offer at that time is not right. Why? Somebody is showing some interest, but you going and making a counter offer, automatically now what happens, the price goes up. So this creates nafrat and dislike amongst Muslim brothers. Sharia doesn't like that. Somebody is already interested in a certain girl, somebody is already interested in a certain product, at that time don't make a counter offer. So this is what we are taught, sending a marriage proposal when another brother has proposed without the permission or retraction. And this first part that we did, that requesting to purchase in the midst of another brother's purchase. That person is still doing the deal, and we go and we put another offer. So this is not something that Shariat approves of. An Anas radiallahu anhu qal, Naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أن يبيع حاضر لباد وإن كان أخاه لأبيه وأمه. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited an urban dweller, a person sitting, staying in the city, to sell on behalf of a rural dweller, even if he is a blood brother. Even if that person coming from outside to sell his goods is your blood brother, don't do this. And there's a lot of hikmat in the beautiful teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll just do this few hadith and we'll explain it. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tatalaqqaw sil'a hatta yuhbata biha ila al-aswaq, muttafaqun alayh. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not go out to meet the goods before they reach the markets. Before the goods reach the market, don't go out and meet the goods. In other words, don't go and strike a deal before the seller can reach the market. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tatalaqqaw al-rukban wa la yabi' hadirun libadin, faqala lahu tawus ma la yabi'u hadirun libadin, qala la yakunu lahu simsaran, muttafaqun alayh. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not go ahead to meet caravans. An urban dweller should not sell on behalf of a rural dweller. Tawus asked, what does it mean that an urban dweller should not sell on behalf of a rural dweller? He replied, he should not be his agent. Person is coming from outside, the person from the city goes to him and approaches him saying, you know what, you don't go to the market and sell your goods, I will be your agent. I will hold the stock when the market price goes up, now there's a demand for it, at that time now I'll sell this goods, so we'll make more money. He'll go with a deal with this person. Or sometimes he'll do it this way, that I'll act as your agent, when the market price goes up, then I'll sell it, or I will buy the goods from you now at a fixed price, and then what I'll do now, I got the monopoly over the goods, I can demand the price in the market. What is happening? The general public are suffering. One, two people are making money in this whole scheme, in this whole economic scheme, but the general public are suffering. So Islam is teaching us something they don't do. Just allow the people, allow the producers, allow the sellers to go directly to the market. If they're going to go to the market from out of town, for example, the farmers are coming, they go to the market directly, what will happen is they also need to go back to their homes, they need to go back, so they'll want to sell their goods quickly. There's nobody in the city that's staying and holding the stock, and the people generally are suffering. Now, under this section, ulama explained these two things that need to be borne in mind. One is ghurar and one is dharar. Ghurar means deception. Sometimes what can happen is the farmer is coming, he doesn't really know what the feel of the market is. So he is getting deceived by this person from the city who's going and telling him that, you know what, I'll take all your pieces here, all this rice you've got, I'll take it at a certain price. The farmer is thinking that this is the price. He doesn't know, he hasn't yet reached the market, he doesn't know what's happening in the marketplace. He's getting deceived and he's giving this one city person that amount and he's selling all his goods. Or he's agreeing with him that you sell all my goods for this price. The other is dharar. Dharar is the people, the public generally now are suffering. Why? Because one person took all the goods and is holding it. And this is something ulama explained. It doesn't apply to all goods. It applies to things that people generally need. General commodities that people use all the time. For example, people use rice all the time. People use fresh produce all the time. Things that people use all the time. If somebody is going to do this policy and have this type of monopoly over the market, then everyone will suffer. Why? Is when they need it, they can't get it. And when they do eventually get it, then they have to get it at the price that this person is commanding. Whereas Sharia is saying that they have a free market. Free market, anybody must be able to buy, everybody must be able to sell, everyone must be able to live fairly and happily. Nobody should be enriched at the expense of other people suffering. Look what a beautiful economic policy Sharia is teaching us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us so many years ago that from basic things we have learned that even how to use the toilet, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to policies like this, that how a person should deal, how the market should be trading, on what basis, on what free basis the market should be trading. Even in other hadith it comes that prices also shouldn't be fixed. That let the market determine the price, let the people determine what they want to pay for a commodity. Don't even fix the prices. Allah is the musa'ir. Allah is the one that determines and fixes prices. We are not there to determine and fix prices. Just to take one example of how this thing affects the market, often we see that people block book tickets. When it comes to Hajj time and Umrah time, often you hear this complaint that certain agents have block booked the tickets. The ticket that normally would cost 8,000 rand from the airline, Hajj time now you've got to pay 13,000 rand, 14,000. So what have they done? They've gone directly to the supplier and they booked all those tickets. Now who suffers? The poor average public has to pay 3,000 rand more, 4,000 rand more, or sometimes even double the price just to get a ticket to go for Hajj. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us, let the markets trade freely. Nobody should go in between and decide he wants to monopolize the markets. Allah subhanAllah give us tawfiq. When we read Durood Sharif Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, especially on a Friday, think of all the beautiful, beautiful teachings of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't leave us standard like that. Everything he taught us, even as far as our economics, etc. is concerned, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has shown us the way so that we don't be left as yateem, as people, as orphans, that we don't have any direction in our deen. As we know, today is Friday. We should increase salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, recite Suratul Kahf, and we should encourage the family also to recite. Try and come early for the Jumu'ah Salah, and try and take advantage of the time between Asr Salah and Maghrib Salah. For ulama of the opinion, that most likely du'as are answered in this time. Subhanallah bihamdi subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi